Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
On this second Sunday of Lent, we welcome you to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Bishop, good morning. Our second week of Lent already.
Right, you survived the first one, right?
Yes, we did.
Great progress, I'm sure, already in our
step by step, as they say.
Journey of Lent toward a more beautiful and full life. So second Sunday, we are, and this always happens, it's two Sundays of Lent. Mm-hmm. First Sunday, we hear about the temptations of Jesus in the desert. So really focusing on his humanity. As we as humans are tempted, he, as a human being, mm-hmm. the human side of him, was tempted for us to show us that temptation exists, but also that there's one way to overcome every temptation, and that is to move closer to God. So the second Sunday is more about his divinity. Jesus is both God and man, and I'm going to give you the term, the hypostatic union, the coming together of God and man. The humanity and the divinity in one person, Jesus Christ, not half and half, you know, not half and half, you know, milk and cream.
Right.
But totally God and totally man. That is the great mystery that was, that's been a part of our faith for centuries and centuries. And so Jesus in the Transfiguration now expresses his divinity.
We will hear that gospel now.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." A lot there.
And I think from reading it, remembering this from back in Catholic school, and then, of course, it is one of the mysteries of light when we do our rosary on Thursday, the Transfiguration. But what I always tend to just, not that I focus on it, but one of the things that comes to mind is how Jesus was surrounded by ordinary guys. These were workers. These were fishermen. These weren't scholars. These weren't people that were of the upper echelon, if you will. These were like ordinary guys,
right.
And they see this, and they're consolidating this. This is and God is speaking to them, saying, "This is really who He says He is at this moment." And I think that I always just imagine these guys in sackcloth just are going, "How do we understand this?" But God gave them the opportunity to be there and to understand it to where it was preserved and told after Jesus' resurrection.
Yeah, that's a wonderful point. And I think if you could look at it, I mean, I'm just thinking it's based on what you said. I think, you know, think about when they first met him. I mean, mm-hmm. they knew he was a good, well, not a good preacher in the sense that he had a good technique, mm-hmm. but his words were golden. I mean, there was something powerful in what he said. And so when he said, "Leave your nets and come follow me," or "Leave your tax post and come follow mm-hmm. me," they did it.
Yeah.
They just did it because there was something about Jesus in his words that attracted them? And again, for Lent, going back to the Word of God, listening to them with a new ear, a new heart, not just as words I've heard before that any other Joe has said, you know, in wisdom figures throughout the centuries, but it's the Son of God. It's the Word made flesh. And so they followed him based on the Word. And then there were other instances where, you know, they have no bread. Well, has anybody got any bread here? Well, there's a guy that has a couple of fish and a couple of, so he brings them and they're multiplied. Or they see the young man that's blind and they actually tell him to get away because, you know, don't bother the mm-hmm. master. Mm-hmm. And Jesus reaches out. So they're beginning to see, they're hearing the word, mm-hmm. him and the power of his word, but then the power of his actions. So I'm sure they were attracted, obviously, but I'm sure there's also that interior, you know, who are we dealing with
right.
here?
Uh-huh.
Because they never came out and said, hey, I'm God.
You right. know? And I think their ordinary stature in the world opens yeah. it up for everyone to say, it doesn't matter where you are or who you are. Right. God is always welcoming. And to give that opportunity to these men that were otherwise fishermen.
Yeah.
And here they are on this mountain, seeing what they're seeing and hearing what they're hearing. They're never the same after that either.
Right. And so these two, you're right, and these two, these three, Peter and then James and John, who were brothers, mm-hmm. and remember they were the ones that their mother wanted them to sit on one side and right. on the other in heaven and to give them, they're still thinking in human terms, you know, they gave up everything, so give them a little head start, you know,
right.
in heaven or other places. So these three are always with Jesus as not the elite, but probably he saw in Peter, James, and John a special openness to him mm-hmm. and to his word. They were catching on in some way, even though Peter at the end, you know, before he, I mean, not at the end, not at the very end, but at the die, I mean, he denied him. But he could see something in these three. Mm-hmm. And so they're the ones that he takes up the mountain. And when he went up there, he was transfigured. I did one of my theses in seminary on that, and in the eastern side of the church, you know, some of the fathers of the church said it wasn't so much that he was transfigured because he was always God, but that the cloud of darkness fell from their eyes and they could see only for a moment. Either way,
it's still a moment of revelation.
That's one of those things we'll find out in heaven, what actually happened. How did it happen?
Right.
But regardless, he did appear to them in his glory. In other words, the divinity shone out over the humanity. And I think probably because these three would be the special witnesses to that, mm-hmm. not all the disciples were there. But the other thing is, he said, don't tell the others. Don't tell people what you've seen. Because something had to happen, and which we're jumping ahead a little bit, but something had to happen before people's faith would be mature enough to recognize that this is the Son of God. So along with that scene of the transfiguration of his divinity stands Moses and Elijah. And so who are Moses and Elijah? Moses was the great lawgiver, the Ten Commandments, you know, came through Moses. And so God relates to his people, first of all, through the law. You know, do this, don't do that.
Right.
So people's faith was based on these commandments. Elijah was the great prophet, was the greatest of all the prophets. And so when he appeared again would be the end. This was when the Messiah would come. And so these two figures, the prophets and the law, stand together with the Son of God in his glory. And remember what Jesus said, I have not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've come to fulfill them. So Peter, James, and John are seeing the law and the prophets and Jesus as the fulfillment. It's a beautiful imagery if we can, you know, spend time thinking of that. Because sometimes even in our own prayer or in our own meditation, We it's more law based on law giving,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe one of the prophets. But to see that the Word of God, flesh in the flesh, the incarnate Word, Jesus, is the summation of all of it because he's God. So that's kind of the theological significance behind all of this for the two brothers, James and John, and their friend Peter, and for us as well in the church.
And what you said there, with all that, with that beautiful history of that, when Peter always says, when I always hear this, he says, "We're going to build three tents." And for me, that I used to have the perception that he just wants to, he's looking at it very simply. But he actually was beyond the surface when he said he recognized the three of them, as you just said, of the significance of those three in one place, which is why he wants to build the tents, I guess. And in that moment, he is taken by all three of them together in one place. Where does he make that revelation on a deeper level, or is he just sort of as a simple guy saying, "Hey, let's put three tents up"? I mean,
have you ever been on a wonderful vacation you never wanted to leave?
But maybe that's what
that's more
of where it's coming from.
It was again from a human side,
right? Right.
Their faith was still not. They were given the grace to see, but it's also let's keep it. Let's hold on to it. Let's not let go. And life's not like that. Mm-hmm. And I think this is also a lesson for us during Lent. Is there's many things we want to hold on to. There's many things we don't want to leave. But life is moving closer toward God, and sometimes it's letting go of even the most beautiful things in our life, the most holy things in our life even. Some saints say we even have to let go of our own soul, because God is everything. God is greater than that. So I think Jesus gives them that beautiful glimpse of the fullness, Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the prophet, and Jesus, the summation, the word of God. And that's why they hear the words from heaven, as they did at baptism. "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Going back to the word, listen to him. And then they were afraid. They fell prostrate. They weren't sure what was going on, but their hearts were moved. They didn't want to abandon that moment. And Jesus said, "Rise, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, there was only Jesus left, because he was the fullness of everything, as he is for us. You know, there's many good things, but the fullness of everything is Jesus Christ himself. And so as they were heading back down, "Don't tell anyone," because it wasn't a secret, but the others are not ready for it right now. They haven't experienced it. So if you go say, "Guess what I saw," and they go, "Yeah, lock him up."
Right.
Lock him up, yeah. So that's, I think, the meaning of that, is just to let, you know, to move on, and they'll have their chance for faith later too, the others.
Beautiful reflections on the second Sunday of Lent as we reflect on this Sunday's gospel.
Our Shepherd's View. We'll be right back.
The Schoenstatt Spring Rummage Sale is a great opportunity for all of us to do some serious spring cleaning. The sale is set for March 31st and April 1st at the Schoenstatt Movement Center, 4343 Gaines Street in Corpus Christi. They will accept clean and gently used donations March 6th through the 24th. Proceeds benefit the Schoenstatt Center and Chapel. For more information, call them at 361-992-9841.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View on this second Sunday of Lent. We are here with Bishop Michael Mulvey reflecting on this Sunday's gospel, talking about the transfiguration of Jesus. We ended our last segment talking about how Jesus told the disciples to not say anything, to don't tell the vision to anyone, but they must have been bursting to tell someone. Amongst themselves, they probably were saying, "What did we just see? How did this all happen?" Mm-hmm. And probably the conversations that they had amongst themselves were pretty lively and had a lot of depth to them as well. I can only imagine that.
Right. And I didn't really prepare this, but I think it's St. Luke's gospel, where as he's coming down, they didn't want to go. And he said, "We have to go now to Jerusalem." Mm-hmm. Because he was leading them from the mountain, from the experiencing his divinity, down the mountain. And where did they go? They headed to Jerusalem. Because in Jerusalem is where he would really show his glory. And this is the great paradox, I think, for Christians and perhaps many others who find maybe a roadblock in this. He was heading to the cross, because that would be his glory. the transfiguration is like the resurrection image of God. He's risen, but he wasn't there yet because he was still human. He still lived in the human, in human nature. And so heading to the cross, that's what really confused them. And it's when Simon Peter said, no, 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 don't go. You know, you don't want to go there. You don't want to, why would you want to go to Jerusalem and be captured and be beaten and put on a cross? Why would you want that? And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Because you're thinking as human beings think and not as God thinks. In other words, God's love is so powerful that Jesus wanted to fulfill the Father's love for us, for you and me, by him showing the immense love of God on the cross, dying for us. And if Peter and the rest said, no, 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 and they tried to block him, it would have been interfering with God's plan. And I think this is what happens to us too when we want to say, no, I don't want to go, let's stay right here. Well, maybe God's will is something else. You know, there's all sorts of scenarios. I'm thinking of one in particular. A person during the Second World War, I think a real saint, was having, you know, after the war and all the destruction, everything, and had one of these, I guess you would say, a retreat kind of experience, and on the mountain, and was just so beautiful, and people around, and praying, and mass singing, and just a joyful life. And it came time to leave, and she said, I don't want to go. Hmm. And someone else who was there with her and said, remember, you promised Jesus that you would serve humanity that's suffering. And she sat down at that moment and wrote a beautiful meditation. But she realized we can't stay in these moments of glory. Or maybe we've just won, you know, like I always think of they're fun to watch, you know, the Super Bowl and these kind of things. And
the big game.
We get all wrapped up in it, you know. And who won the Super Bowl 4 years ago?
4 years ago. See, you can't remember.
You don't even remember. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry.
There'll be someone out
some
there.
Some fans out there will
know. We'll get that email. Sure.
I'm not one of them. But, you know, it's these things that we have these ecstatic kind of moments. Right. And is this me? No. Is this all God wants of me? Is this? And so we have to be led to where God wants us to go, even if it means leaving the heights and going down to the depths. Because he wants us to give our life as Jesus gave his for us. But the glory of that is that with death comes resurrection. And that's what we're celebrating. As we get into the Easter time, that's exactly what we're celebrating. So these are just kind of moments in the life of Jesus that give us a glimpse of what Easter is really like in our lives. That our life is to experience his death as God's love for us, and his resurrection as his pointing to us that life will never end. And so this is something I think that this experience of Peter, James, and John, he gave just the three of them that insight so that as it came time that Jesus would die and rise, they could have the strength, the inner strength to say, no, we saw. Mm-hmm. We're witnesses. We saw. Who he is, and that's the beauty of it.
And that changed the course of the lives of those three individuals throughout the Gospels, and what they attested to, like he said, after he had gone through his crucifixion and resurrection, what they saw became even that much more of a significant account.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, you can imagine Pentecost, you know, the Holy Spirit comes mm-hmm. and enlivens them, but I always think of Mary in these moments, you know. These apostles had to really grow in a human, as we all do, in a human way, encountering him in ways that is not normally human. Mm-hmm. But to be able to come and say, yes, this is who he is. And I always think of Mary looking at him and say, yeah, I know.
I've known since the beginning.
Yeah, but she kept quiet too.
Right.
She knew who he was.
There's a line in several places in the scriptures where, and it always comes back to me when we talk about these kinds of things with Mary, where she reflected on these things in her heart.
In her heart, she kept.
And that's like a mom. Mom will always do that. May not always say everything or may not always be as vocal about certain things, but that line always gets me because it reminds me of my mom, but also the fact that it's a very Mary thing. It's just she held it and she knew, but she continued on. She pressed forward.
Well, and that's another good point, too, because, you know, we never see her explaining things to people. She was a silent presence because she knew, but she also knew that the plan had to be played out. Sometimes, you know, even in our life, there's things that we want everybody to know, but they're not ready to know.
Right.
Or maybe it's something that we're suffering and we want somebody to suffer with us, but they're not ready for that. So we have to live life in a true closeness to God's will, because if we jump ahead and try to explain to people what they cannot understand or they reject, then God's plan cannot be fulfilled in His way in us, and personally. Yeah.
We get out of His way, we get out of our own way to do that.
Right. Yeah.
Depending on what the situation is.
Get out of the way.
Exactly. Well, it's a beautiful reflection on this Sunday's Gospel, the second Sunday of Lent. And as we stated in last week's program, your video and podcast series, Bishop, is called Growing in Grace, a video podcast series offering Lenten reflections, and we release a new video every Sunday. The one was just released a little earlier this morning. It is a tremendous opportunity for all of us to journey together, and you offering your reflections and stories. It's very comforting the way you presented everything.
I think the important thing for us is, especially during this time, stop thinking with our head and brain. In other words, we're not analytical. If we try to analyze Lent, if we try to analyze the death and resurrection of Jesus, if we try to analyze the baptism of the Lord, we try to analyze transfiguration, we're going to get nowhere. We're going to be asking questions until, you know, the sheep come home, whatever. But we're not going to get anywhere. These are matters of faith. So it's not about analyzing with our brain. It's about receiving with our heart, letting God enter through our heart. And then He will enlighten our mind to say, yes, this is true. The apostles, Mary herself, they had to live with Jesus. That's how they knew Him. That's how they understood Him. It wasn't a theology book. I love theology too, but it's, and I remember a spiritual director that I had, he said, when you go to the classes throughout the 4 years of theology, don't just take it in through your head. Take it in through your heart, because if theology is true under any aspect, it will hit your heart. It will define you, and it will give you the wisdom and the knowledge that you need. It's not a science that you analyze and put it up against others, and it goes back and forth, and we get nowhere. It's something we receive into our hearts. And that's why Jesus didn't teach theology. He gave us His word.
And we build our faith on that word, and we are always guided by it, and we're fed by it, which I think is a tremendous gift. A lot of times we may be running a little too fast to see it. Sometimes we have too many things on our agendas to do that. That's what I think Lent offers us, that opportunity to clear those things out, as we mentioned last week too, and to embrace what God is offering us through this Lenten journey.
Yeah, and then, you know, a couple of years ago, the Pope wrote a pastoral letter on holiness, that everyone's called to holiness, which we've all heard Second Vatican Council on, and it's so true. But he did point out for our, to help us, just, and he wrote in the letter, Christus Vivit, I think is the name of it. But there's two heresies that keep popping up again today, and that's Gnosticism and Pelagianism. Pelagian was a Catholic priest, as most of them were. But you don't need God's grace. You got your own strength. You can figure it out. You can do it yourself. So that's one. But the other one goes more ancient than that, and that is Gnosticism. Mm-hmm. The Gnostics, the brain, the mind, I've got it. I've captured it. I know everything. And that's very true in the faith journey today. People want to know about God and be able to capture the truth about God in their mind, and God forbid anybody speak differently than that. Mm-hmm. But it's a heart matter. It's a relation. It's relational. It's to relate with God. As I said earlier about the going to sleep thing, I think it was last week, but that God's looking into our eyes. Mm-hmm. It's a love relationship. A person, the divine person with us. And that's what gives us the truth of ourselves. It's not about learning it in a book.
Or a formula.
Formula and being so stuck on the formula there's no other, nothing else can be done. So it's really our life and this journey of Lent is just such a, the more I speak about it, the more I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity to be with the one we know that loves us.
And there's so many great resources that we're making available. In addition to the videos that are available, the videos are available as a podcast, which means you can download the audio portion of Bishop's videos that are made there. Also, we've got downloadable items in English and in Spanish, prayer cards. All of this can be found at diocesecc.org/Lent. Also, the Diocese of Corpus Christi YouTube channel has the videos updated as well. So a great opportunity to deepen your Lenten journey and to have the wisdom and the experience and the comfort of Bishop Michael Mulvey with you through these videos, which are tremendous, by the way, Bishop. We thank you. Our department here, the communication department, like it's work at all. It was a tremendous honor to be able to help put the videos together, but they're going to continue through the end of Lent, and we look forward to that, a new video every Sunday.
I want to say something. Is just everyone who watches them, please say a prayer to the Holy Spirit before you watch them. It's not me. But to say, Spirit, I may be the worst speaker. You know, I may have even said heresy. I don't remember what I said. But just to say, Holy Spirit, teach me through these simple videos. Speak to me today and let me hear what you want me to hear. I think that's a good preparation for listening.
We thank you for that, Bishop, as we draw to a close our Shepherd's View for this week, if you would end on a prayer for us.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son was transfigured on the mountain with Peter, James, and John present. We were not present, but our faith continues to grow and brings us to the reality to understand that listening to your words and seeing the actions that you performed in your human life, but also in ours, that we can proclaim you as the Son of God, in whom the Father is well pleased. Help us to listen to you every day. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.